Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of That Podcast. Enjoy the show.
So before we talked about, is Jesus true for you but not for me? This one's tied into it next. It's the question, how can you believe the Bible is true?
Because we just found out that Noah's Ark is 18 miles south of Mount Ararat.
And that might be someone's argument that it's in the Bible. It backs it up. There you go. There's your proof.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's a faith question too.
Because some
people don't believe the Bible.
Right.
Some people believe the Bible's been horribly corrupted.
Some
people believe it's just a collection of old stories, like Noah's Ark. But what does the Christian think? And does it make a difference if the Bible is true or not? Because getting to your point, if we had to go back to like first causes and original things as to the things that we love in the West that we take for granted, let's say you get God out of the picture, right? Where does all of these morals and where does the idea of freedom and liberty and equality and fairness and justice, where do they come from?
Constitution.
People who claim that or people who say they're atheists or whatever, are they being good people because there's some internal moral compass, or are they being good people because they don't want to be shamed by the culture?
I think it's half of one, six of one, half a dozen of another. Myself.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's certain things that are inborn in us that are tied into the culture itself.
Mm-hmm.
That are our kind of default operating software.
Yeah.
That we just do it, and this is right and this is wrong. Why? Because my entire existence, and as far as I'm concerned, all of existence began at the moment I was born until I die. And that's just how things are supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not like that, then I begin to question.
How'd that feel?
Dana's now almost fallen off a stool, hit her elbow on the table.
If you were going to do that, you could have at least done it loud enough to so everybody could hear it.
Just like,
which one was it?
Bang your head against.
This one that went off. Ouch. And then the corner of the table. I'm done. It's good.
All right,
it's fine.
Let's wrap this up. All right. She almost fell off the stool once. She hit this thing. It's like, okay, one more, she's down.
Just keep going without me. I'll be back.
I don't remember what my point was. That was
we're talking about Bible being true. Yeah.
Well, just like you said, everything that we take for granted as being normal and right and true had to come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? It came from the Bible. That's why you have people like Jordan Peterson. You guys all know who Jordan Peterson is?
Mm-hmm.
No.
You don't know who Jordan Peterson is?
Are you kidding me? They're not going to know who Jordan Peterson is.
Seriously? I mean, I'm actually, you guys don't know who Jordan Peterson is?
You say that name and I go, I don't know who that is.
All right.
I expect you to explain it to me and then be like, oh, that person. Yeah. That person has a name.
What are they in? What are they?
Jordan Peterson is fun to listen to because he's Canadian.
Yeah.
So it sounds like English, but it's a little different.
Maybe if you saw him, you would recognize him, but I would guess they have no idea who Jordan Peterson is, even if they saw his picture.
Interesting. Okay. Well,
we're old.
Well, yeah, but Jordan Peterson.
You didn't know who Rhett and Link was.
We're old and we're guys.
Maybe I think that's the distinction. Jordan Peterson is like an intellectual genius in our culture at this time, and what he's speaking to is that long felt hunger and need of meaning. But he's probably aiming more at young men than young women because he's speaking to young men about getting their act together and being men.
Yeah, no.
Nope. No bells.
Oh.
No,
well,
nothing.
So he is...
I want to know if anybody listening to this knows who that is, too.
Yeah, write in if you know who Jordan Peterson is.
I would guess all the guys... Well, Eli is a big fan, so...
Jordan Peterson is an agnostic who, to quote... Jordan Peterson, he's a psychologist and he's a professor of psychiatry. And he's like, you can't just get rid of those documents like the Bible and the belief system, which crafted all of Western thought without also losing the things that we take for granted now, because they all came out of Christianity. And so he does these lectures on Genesis.
Oh,
and thousands of people show up to hear him lecture.
Because he's agnostic.
Not because he's agnostic, because he's speaking to a need of people who are like, I don't know which end is up anymore, mm-hmm. and
is
I need.
He still? Well,
yeah, he's still doing these.
No, I mean, is he still agnostic?
So what he says, like his wife is a devout Christian. She they had some health problems, and she ended up converting to becoming Catholic. And his exact words, and this is a very Jungian way to speak, because he's a Jungian psychiatrist, is that what that means basically is that there's different archetypes in life mm-hmm. that we take on, that we put on, and stories that we need for our own life. And we all have it. You guys have your own inner monologue, and hopefully you're the hero of your own story. Mm. But we all have narratives that we function by. Mm-hmm. And he speaks about the Bible is really the overall narrative of Western culture. And so all mm-hmm. the things, it's like that other book that I showed you guys about biblical critical theory.
Oh, yeah.
And how everything is tied in. That's Jordan Peterson's way of speaking about these things. And he will say that he has a hard time with faith and explaining faith because he's very scientifically, he's a thinker. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I believe in Jesus because I want it to be true.
I have talked about this too.
And I live my life as if it is true. But he's so funny because when it comes to, do you believe that Jesus is your Lord? He'll break down in tears of someone who so desperately wants it to be true. And I'm like, someone go up to this man, smack him on the head and say, I forgive you of all your sins. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and have faith and rely on Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Because he's just there.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. My point with that is that Jordan Peterson, another guy, Tom Holland, who wrote a book called
not that Tom Holland,
Spider-Man.
Not Spider-Man. He wrote a book called Dominion, mm-hmm. and you can listen to him too. And he talks the same way of like, we need Christianity, and he goes, and we don't need people aren't interested in the kind of Christianity that tries to placate the culture. Christianity needs to be weird, like. That's what people want. They get the other story from culture all the time. All of us have super devices in our pockets where we can get all the information the world has to offer at any moment and often, you know, take in the entertainment of it, but it's unfulfilling. We need Christianity to be different and weird in its claims. And honestly, mm-hmm. saying that someone, a peasant from Nazareth in a bygone province in the backwoods of an ancient empire which no longer exists 2,000 years ago is the reason for the meaning of your life and your salvation and will give you true happiness here and now, that's some weird stuff for a culture that hasn't heard of Jesus Christ. And that's what they need to hear because it's also incredibly dynamic mm-hmm. that. And it answers the question of suffering in a way that no other worldview does. So I'm getting all excited about these sermons. Okay. The next one is, hasn't science disproved Christianity? What do you think? Or not, what do you think? What does the culture think? Well, let me ask you a different question. Are most scientists, not all of them, but are most scientists atheists?
I don't know a lot.
You don't know a lot of scientists?
No. So I don't know.
I think of the big names, like Einstein was a Christian.
He was agnostic.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. He was Jewish, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was like he had faith of some variety. Tyson, the guy.
Neil deGrasse Tyson. Tyson,
yep. He's agnostic, isn't he?
I'd say he's atheist.
He's atheist. But let me ask you a question. Why is he a good scientist?
Because he sees all the viewpoints. He's done all their deep research.
On what?
On all of it. He's looked at all sides. He's looked at every side of the multiple sided dice, like the 20 sided die of the world. He's looked at all of it.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I'm like, there are certain scientists, like I'll give you another name, Stephen Hawking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why is he considered a great scientist?
Because he did all the research.
On what?
On everything. There's literally a on movie on his life called The Theory of Everything.
On everything that you can see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Didn't he? Stephen Hawking also did black holes, so also things you can't see.
So what he did do, and what actually
is... Because
again,
that was fishing, and I don't know what you were fishing for.
What he did do and what is science is his theory about black holes.
Okay.
But his theory on everything is pseudoscience at best. I'm using those two examples just to make the. Or how about Bill Nye the Science Guy?
Yeah,
love me Bill Nye.
Bill.
Okay,
Bill
what is Nye he a science scientist of? My point being is that our culture sees celebrity in certain pictures, and don't get me wrong, Stephen Hawking, brilliant guy. Neil deGrasse Tyson, brilliant guy. Mm-hmm. Bill Nye the Science Guy, he's got some great stuff. You know, but. What if I gave you a name like Sir Isaac Newton?
Mm-hmm. Gravity.
You know what he did and what he's famous for, but let me go a little bit further. If you were to say, what is a really important scientific document? What is the most important scientific document of all time? What would you say it is?
Document? Like a piece of paper?
Well, you know, scientists prove their or give evidence for their theories by writing documents. Okay. Is there any document out there that like what Hawking wrote? He wrote his doctoral thesis. You saw the movie, right?
That was a long time ago.
The thesis, the thesis was his best science, and when it was done, they're like, "These are great ideas." Now go figure out the math. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then he spent the rest of his career trying to disprove his own assumptions from his theory, which is that there was a beginning. And in his first writing, he talks about this, about it's almost like it's the fingerprints of God or something along those lines. And then he spent the rest of his life trying to disprove it. And you know what he came up with? Nothing.
Well, I think that's the like interesting part of these kind of celebrity scientists who are atheist or agnostic and have done so much deep research into so many things is you regularly know their answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
Here is Hawking's brilliant conclusion. And you know, like I said, he's a brilliant guy, but just listen to this and think it through logically. He writes in his magnum opus that everyone was like, wow, this is brilliant. No one understood it. He wrote, because there's a law like gravity, therefore the universe will create itself.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Missing a couple steps in there, I think.
It's a logical breakdown mathematically. Because what his theory shows is that everything came from nothing, but we know that's not possible. And yet gravity is something, and he's saying that gravity is something, and from that came the entire universe. But before there was gravity, there was nothing. So where did gravity come from? It's an error in logic that...
It's like a paradox.
That John Lennox, my favorite guy, the mathematical guy, basically said, it just goes to show that even... when brilliant people say something nonsense, it's still nonsense.
Yeah.
But because of who Hawking is, it's like, oh, that's brilliant. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
And if it doesn't make any sense simply, then it's obviously not. There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of the point of the work of Hawking. But he's very famous because he's very famous. Mm-hmm. And you know, the same with Neil deGrasse Tyson. The only thing that I know that Neil deGrasse Tyson did is he was on the panel that decided that Pluto was no longer a planet. Mm. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Did you know?
Is he also black holes anyway, or is he's a
very famous, I think, astronomer or astrophysicist.
Okay.
But yeah. my point being, again, when you look at documents that show a great scientist, I mentioned Newton, you knew gravity, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The most famous... not even most famous, because obviously it's not very famous, but the greatest scientific document in the history of humanity, arguably, is the Principia Mathematica that Newton wrote.
What about the Pythagorean theorem?
Well, you got to go back further than that. this is built on that. This is how this and this is our understanding of like calculus and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't have an understanding of calculus.
I don't understand the calculus either. What Newton wrote in that document is that he wrote it so that thinking men and women, but thinking people...
That's not what it was.
Men,
you added that in
later
after.
Women.
I did to make clear of what the old language for man used to be. It meant everybody. It did. You don't have to agree with me. my point is that he wrote this, and in it he writes that he wrote it in order that thinking people would... come to discover the magnificence of God in the creation. Mm-hmm. This is the greatest scientist who ever lived, arguably.
Mm-hmm.
But we've come to believe that science has disproved Christianity.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's disproved it, but it's definitely gotten to a point where, like, they can't coexist.
Mm-hmm. It's banged it up pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Well, and I guess I'm of the mind that that's a worldview that's been shown to be failing. That Christianity encourages scientific inquiry.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. science came out mm-hmm. of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this shift that's happening with that too. As more and more scientists are like, you know, scientists are not, for the most part, people who want to be out in the public sphere arguing philosophy
yeah.
or worldview. They want to do their science. They're yeah. like, just leave me alone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like Francis Collins, the guy who created, didn't create, but discovered and mapped the human genome. Devout Christian. Started out as a scientist, as an atheist, and was doing clinicals next to patients. And it was in his conversations with patients that one of them said, well, why don't you believe in Jesus? And he'd never thought of it before. So he went and he looked at the evidence for Christianity. And he's like, huh, why am I not a Christian?
Yeah.
There's so much evidence mm-hmm. for it. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a scientific way of coming to faith
mm-hmm.
that is not the assumption of our culture, because our culture says, well, to do good science,
mm-hmm. gotta leave that at home.
Yeah.
Or science has proved that yeah. Jesus didn't exist and so on and so forth. And none of that is true.
Yeah.
None mm-hmm. of it is true.
Yeah. I think too often we just want to fight the other side so hard and forget the fact that we don't know everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and in our day and age of Facebook and X and Instagram and online argumentative things where people get on and actually get low-grade anxiety just by skimming.
Right.
Did you guys know that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you experience that, like a sense of anxiety when you...
Always in a sense of anxiety. What are you even talking about?
Do you feel any different when you're doing this scrolling? Do you get low-grade anxiety, like...
I feel like if I see certain...
I was going to say, it depends on what I've been on.
Yeah.
And what,
like, and if it's certain stories or, like, certain things like that.
I think when I see things that are so absurd, and then I think, I, like, actually know that person.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they wrote that.
Right.
Like, I know that I've met them. They're not a bot.
Yeah.
So what I hear you saying is stop posting, DJ.
It just makes you a little sad almost, though, when you're like, oh.
When's the last time you posted anything?
Aught six? Aught seven?
The most you do, DJ, is that other people tag you.
Yes.
Then you have to go in.
DJ used to go on like once a month or so, because then you'd get the like from DJ. Be like, why am I getting a like from like 6 weeks ago? Oh, DJ got on social media for the month.
Yeah, I finally saw it. Yeah. Finally came
DJ's
down.
DJ's catching up on everything.
Yeah, that's how I do it.
No, the most I is like, Melissa, tag DJ.
Yep.
If you're friends with my wife, you will see. Yeah.
Yep.
That is true. I will go on very frequently, usually if there's some kind of family thing that I know my wife has posted something.
I feel like you've only been on recently because your kid graduated.
Graduation. Yeah.
Guilty. You caught me.
I don't know if it's so much of a low-grade anxiety, but Dana probably feels this too, and this is a very niche working in marketing, social media, but like... Yeah. When people are like, I'm going to give up social media for Lent, or I'm going to go off social media, I'm like, that must be so nice.
I like having a job. So
like, oh, you just get to not go on your phone. Like,
can I give that up for Lent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I also love that, like,
can I go 6 weeks without a paycheck?
Yeah. I think I like having employment.
Mm. Food, heat,
who was it
roof
that
over my head.
Someone did was like, yeah, I'm not going to go on social media through Lent. And then I was like, well, I literally work at a church.
I've had this conversation before with Zach's wife, Kelsey. This was a long time ago. She's like, oh, I'm giving up social media. I'm going to go off social media. I'm like, yeah, I could never do that. She's like, oh, why is it so? I was like, no, I need a job. I need to work, and I have no other skills. So
yeah.
I think I'd be much more interested in engaging with social media if everyone was you guys. Because you're doing it with a purpose and an intent and not just... fisticuffs. Mm-hmm. I want to fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got tired of all
that. Although, I have started doing this. Is not a age appropriate thing to do where I saved the like think poster that's up in most kids' classrooms where like, is it true? Is it helpful? Yeah. And if I see people I know commenting just like out of the blue stuff, especially on news, I'll just comment it back to them. It's nice. Not, I'm like, did you think through that? I don't think you did. I'm just going to give you a little reminder.
I guess for me, that's a bit of it too, is just at one point I'm like, I get on there and I just scroll for a little bit and then I'm just furious. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to be angry at people and I don't want to have that response of being like, Ryan, did you really post that?
Yeah. No, like I'm very little on Facebook. Yeah. And then the ones that like, I don't know if I deleted my account, but
I don't go on Twitter
on my phone anymore. But I do have Facebook and Instagram's little threads thing, but I've had to like lock it because that is the one that like, especially if there's a lot of drama going on, that it will just like make me mad. And then I literally have to like, don't even be in my social media folder so that I accidentally click on you. Like you got to go away because it does make me so mad to be on like those ones. And I don't know what
because you can't really like personalize your feed. Like,
right. Cause that one's more,
you could unfollow or like mute and things like that on Instagram, Facebook and Threads is very randomized. It's like a For You page on TikTok.
Yeah.
Mm. Almost to the end here. All right. Why can't we just agree that love is love?
Oh.
That's a big one. That's a big one in our culture. Mm-hmm. Because love has taken on so many different meanings. Mm-hmm. And there is a very specific understanding, and I think actually a very powerful understanding of what love is that comes directly out of Christianity. But what it's not is what it's been marginalized to be.
Infatuation.
Well, what I mean is that it's not... Christians have misused love and misused what it actually is as well as the culture. But the culture has banged Christians over the head specifically in order for this like cultural revolution around people dating who they want to date, regardless of their male, female, you know, it's 21st century. None of it matters. And it's almost, well, I'll just say it like I did in our staff and then I'll move on as a kind of a teaser. We live in a culture that is saturated in Aphrodite worship, where love is not about sacrifice, but it's a selfish love. What can I get from you that gives me meaning, that satisfies me, that... glorifies me, because that's the kind of demand of Aphrodite, the goddess of love, that you're not a true person, you're not truly of any value unless you are in a romantic relationship that is fulfilling all of your wants, needs, and desires. And that is not the understanding of love from Christianity, going back to the time that Aphrodite worship was a big thing in Corinth. And the culture that Paul was speaking into was very clear about what love actually looks like. And the Bible is very specific about what love actually looks like. And it ain't that. That is such a fickle way of understanding love. And it limits it to such a one-sided human interaction and relationship. Does that make sense to all of you? Like, love is expressed in many different relationships that can be grander and greater than just a physical romantic connection between two people. So, and I think as a culture, we're kind of waking up from that too.
Yeah.
That love is love. That doesn't mean anything. What does that mean?
Right.
The next one is, who cares if you're a boy or a girl?
My wife.
I'm shocked you didn't do the Borat voice.
The what?
The Borat voice. My wife.
I've never seen that.
Wow.
Yeah.
A reference Ryan didn't get.
Yeah.
Of a weird voice specifically that he could mimic.
I know this one.
I've never seen it either. So this one.
Is that a millennial thing? Have we reached a
Borat? Shouldn't be.
Right?
I think it goes.
You would think.
Yeah. You guys are old.
Yep.
Are we though?
You know,
you don't understand the lingo.
No. If we're old, what are you two?
Just older.
Ancient.
rotting.
Got it.
disintegrating before your eyes. Getting better. That's what's going on.
Aged.
Like fine
classic.
Milk.
Wow. Wow.
That means someday we're going to be cheese. Or penicillin. One of the two.
Maybe if we're lucky, it'll be Botox.
Just DJ's like face when he said cheese.
Cheese.
You ever think about milk? Who came up? So milk is good.
Did you say whoever came up with milk?
Well, yeah, think about this. Someone came up with this idea to say, here's milk. Drink milk. It's good. Then it starts going bad, and someone's like, you should throw that out. It's like, no, let's give it a minute. I want to see what happens.
Hey, I forgot about my milk. It became real solid. Want to try it?
And then suddenly.
Nothing like a good stinky cheese.
Smells good. It's good.
It's good. It's
and they tasted like, this is so good. I want to melt it and put it on everything that I eat.
And then somebody went further and said, what if we took it, dried it, and then put it in a shaker bottle, but only put it on things like spaghetti, Alfredo.
How many people got sick before they're like, just give it more time?
You know, exactly.
This is also the interesting of, I saw a meme the other day that said, how many food taste testers for kings and presidents and things like that do you think ended up being murdered just because they had a food allergy? Like the king had a food allergy and the taster didn't.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like or if the taster had the allergy, and they're like, we can't eat it. And it's no, actually, they're allergic to peanuts.
Yeah, we just can't have peanut butter right here.
What is that?
Yeah.
What is allergic? We're all starving.
Get rid of it all.
Yep.
So the question with if you're a boy or a girl is a question about really meaning and where you find your meaning. Do you find your meaning inside of yourself or outside of yourself? Has to do with issues about relationship between men and women. It has issues with people about their own gender. Even the idea of gender is a modern construct. Mm-hmm. All the categories we put ourselves into are modern constructs. And the Bible doesn't talk about any of that stuff because the Bible's not looking at it from the terms of modern categorical constructs that we put ourselves into. After that, we're getting to the end. We're going to talk about two more topics. Does God care when we hurt? This is, in my opinion, this is the big one. This is the big one of why people reject Christianity because they've been hurt and they just can't reconcile God allowing that to happen to them or to someone else. Get it? The question I think is always a good one of, so what's the alternative?
Right.
I mean, nihilism, I mean, you suffer now, then you die, I guess. And that's...
Yeah. Right.
Right. And so then
I think it's a weird perspective of if that's you hurt and that's just reality versus something caused it of
or allowed it to happen type of thing. And
Yeah.
And frankly, you can give people an exact reason why they are suffering whatever particular thing they're suffering. Is it really going to satisfy?
True.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it would.
I think it's even coming into a newer understanding, not a newer necessarily, but a revised version of understanding we have of Christianity and of God and Jesus and things like that. Because, right, I think if you ask a certain demographic or generation of people, you get a very, hardcore, I think of the Parks and Rec meme with Fred Arneson went right to jail. That's how faith is you better do everything right. It's a perfectionism test, not a loving relationship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's finding those people who are hurt and things like that and understanding that's obviously not what God wanted for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and even more so there is a way to speak to this that I think can speak to a person's heart, especially when they're suffering. But at the time of the suffering, the answer isn't, well, this happened to you because the universe is incredibly powerful, and for life to exist on this planet, there's all these different dimensions. And then within those dimensions, the force that's connected with it is going to cause harm to the person. And if you look at the biblical story says right at the beginning, with all of creation, God used a lot of power. It's very dangerous for life to happen, but God said, remain in this place and you're safe. And the people rejected God, and now they're out in the place where it's very dangerous. Does that satisfy?
I'm so sorry you're dealing with that.
Exactly.
That sucks.
Exactly.
I'm here with you.
And I don't know why this is happening to you. It's not fair. It's not right. The difference, I think, just as a teaser, is that unlike other worldviews that try that deal with the problem of suffering, Christianity, I think wrapping this up. Christianity gives an answer about God entering into the problem, God entering into the problem of suffering for our sake, which is a little different than the other ones. All right. Now, if we have any time left.
Yeah, 14 minutes.
All right, perfect. We're going to wrap this up right now. The last one is, how can you believe in heaven and hell? That's the last question. Because it's a question of meaning and also, you know, what is the purpose of life? And is there anything beyond this life?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is what is hell? Like, how can you believe in a fiery pit where, you know, pitchforks and pointy tails? I don't know. I don't think that's what hell is, though, right?
It's happy playing nonstop.
Well, and here's the question for you guys are all Christians, but should there be some ultimate justice to things? Mm-hmm. Should the bad people in the end get what's coming to them? And
this is the bad place.
I've been watching that show. I've been watching The Good Place. Have you guys watched The Good Place?
No. I've only seen clips.
I have not.
No, I have. I've seen the first season.
Okay. I've been binging the whole thing, and I'm like.
What's it on?
It was Peacock, wasn't it?
It's on Netflix now.
Oh, okay.
But as I'm watching it, I'm like, yeah, that's not what I would think heaven would be like. And right at the beginning, I'm like, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't watched it. I'm like, Good Place. I think they're actually in hell. I was right.
This is the bad place.
Anyway, whatever.
All right.
And then the montage.
So it's going to be a very exciting sermon series.
Yeah.
Come and join. Come and be a part of it. Come and be a part of the conversation. Invite the kids, the kids.
Don't
you can get the
that.
Book. The two
Utes.
It's just the one Utes.
Youths.
I could say it like Utes. Man.
And with that, the 24, Ryan,
10 questions.
I'll let you talk like that anytime you want if you can do an entire prayer out of here in that voice.
I don't think anybody wants that.
Exactly. Exactly. So you should probably just never do it again.
I could, but I don't think anybody wants
it. I like it in individual little 2-second sound bites.
Yep.
I think it's good.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, jeez.
We need to find a new thing for him to do.
Right. Maybe we got to get him Borat on DVD so he can watch it and get a
new
obsession.
No, because that's going to become his whole personality. And do you want that?
I'd rather have Borat than the old man from South Park or wherever it's from.
South Park?
Is it South Park? No.
No, that's something older than us, I think.
Family
Guy. It's not
Family
older
Guy.
Than you.
Family Guy.
It's like some cartoon that kids shouldn't watch. Yeah. But they do for some reason.
All right. Well, we only got minutes before this whole thing drops on us.
Before the card gets rid of us.
Yes.
I don't know why it was like that. I made sure there was nothing on it.
We've just been talking too much. That's okay. I'll pray us out of here.
All right.
You will? Dang.
Unless I have the wrong card in there.
We'll find out.
You do have a card in there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It wouldn't be recording otherwise.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together and for these people listening. And Lord, we thank you that we are able to talk through these questions and you're able to help us find answers. And even the ones that we don't have answers for, Lord, we know that we can trust in you and you can continue to guide us. And, you know, if we're not liking the answer right now, we know that you will guide us and get us to peace with what it is. And Lord, we just thank you for your love for us and your surrounding us and comforting us and guiding us and all of those things. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bow, bow, bow.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of That Podcast. Don't forget that you can find us every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30, either here at Atonement, 4601 South University Drive in Fargo, or online at atonement.live or atonementfargo.org. We also have a YouTube channel where you can find our services live or a wide variety of resources. Again, that's YouTube, atonement.live, or atonementfargo.org. So for all of us here at Atonement, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time for another riveting episode of That Podcast.